Have another instance of a teaching moment. Have you heard about those, right? A teaching moment, an opportunity that Jesus takes to share with his disciples. And this teaching moment involves another tax collector. What's up with that? You see, the IRS was even present back then. It was worse than it is now. Don't you wonder why Luke was doing that? And why he wants to show us Jesus engaging his disciples and all the other followers that they had with these quote-unquote bad people? See, I think it's telling that he is bringing this up time and time again. It is telling because it shows us something about the culture of the time, and it's telling us something about what we're trying to understand about our culture today. What is the meaning of that situation then, and how we can use that to help us to see our world today? And we've been learning these past few weeks. We have been preaching on the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus, we know that Jesus is preparing his disciples for the mission that is ahead of them, right? Right?
Yes.
And that mission that is ahead of them is not necessarily clear for them. They didn't have a clue what's going to happen in the future, what Jesus was preparing them for. So, and I know that you, who's been in the Sunday schools in the mornings, you've been there, right? You've been studying about the disciples, right? And you've been studying about their character, what made them who they were, how simple they were, right? Am I right? Am I right along? Right? Like us. Like us. So these people are walking with Jesus, and they're being exposed to these lessons, and they're scratching their heads and saying, why? Why are we being exposed to this? But I believe that this is also a message for those who are called beyond the disciples, which is you and I. Those who are called to carry the mission forward. Now, I want you to raise your hand. Go ahead. Raise your, and say, that's me.
That's me.
Right? That's me. A lot of us may not want that responsibility. Believe me, the disciples didn't either. But what a great story of continuation of ministry. Of what Jesus planted in those folks then, and is still alive today. That's why Mount Air is here. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, some of you think so. All right, and that's great. It wouldn't be good if nobody said amen, but you did. So what are the questions about this passage who we know so well, right? We know the song. Right? So what are some questions that we can come up? I have three of them. First one, why is Luke mentioning this story in the middle of all the mission that Jesus was doing, in the middle of a myriad other stories? Why does Luke bring this one up? And the second question is, why such specific details about this man, when in other occasions, there are hardly any specifics about the people that Jesus served, right? This man is called by name, and it's described to the people. But in other occasions, it just says, a man that is like this. He doesn't even mention their name. Why is that? And third, what is this story about? And I put in parentheses here, was in it for me? Right? Because we hear these stories, and it's great to think about other people. But what's in it for me? What does it say about me? So we have three questions, and we're going to answer them real quickly. The first question, you know, why the story? The answer, just because. I thought about that all week. Yeah. Just because, you know what? Because it fits an agenda. Oh, you might say, wait a minute. What? Pastor, you mean to tell me that there's an agenda in the Bible? You know, usually when we hear, oh, there's an agenda behind it, I mean, there's a scheme, right? There's something wrong about this. Yes, there is an agenda. There is one. I'll get to that towards the end of the sermon, okay? So hang on. All right, I'll tell you about the agenda a little bit. Now, number two, why the specific details? I don't know. So next, I'm just kidding. The short answer to that, why the specific details? Well, to support the agenda. That was easy, all right? The long answer, to support the agenda. Zacchaeus is a figure that is coming to us, and he's presented to us, and we adopt a lot of things about this story. We just think it, and it becomes part of it. Wee little thing like this. He must have been like this tall, right? So that's all what we remember about Zacchaeus. But there's more to that. There's a reason why Jesus engages this man. You see, in that same chapter, the chapter before that, I'm sorry, Jesus has engaged a young, rich man who comes to him to ask about the way to heaven. And we know the answer, right? That Jesus provided for him and says, sell everything and you're good. And out of that interrogation comes a conclusion. And this is what Jesus says. It's so hard. It's so hard for those with many possessions to enter the kingdom of God. It's so hard. It's right there in verse 24, chapter 18. You can look it up. So here is a contrast presented to us. There's this man who's rich and who's trying to buy his way up. You get it, right? But there's this other man who is also rich, but he's a bad guy. So we're presented with similar situations here, but the differences are very important for us. One is a great Jew. Oh boy. Does he go to church every Sunday, right? Right?
Yes.
Oh, it was Saturday. He goes to church on Saturdays. All right? He does everything that's required of him. Man, he's so cool. And man, he should have earned his way to heaven. But he goes away with his head down. Because Jesus could tell right through it, right? He could see what was in his heart. But then this other one that is presented to us, he's a person that is considered by most a traitor. He was in it with the Roman government. He was in it for himself. He was padding the taxes and putting it in his pocket. A pestilence to society. Right? He might as well be any of our political leaders today. And yes, I'll mention them by name. Clinton, Trump, they all qualify. Maybe even immigrants. Hello? Or those drug dealers that are around us, or some local politicians. I don't know them all. I'm still new in this city. I don't know yet who's who. But maybe it could be you. Maybe it could be me. You see, the thing about Zacchaeus is that we see it as a picture, an image of somebody. It's a caricature. But we tend not to see ourselves in that man, do we? Huh? You see, the human condition is what this is talking about. And that human condition often makes us look at the other as the one who infringes on all the parameters of sinfulness, right? We can see bad on the other all day long. Especially for our spouses. But when it comes to looking at ourselves, then there's a problem. There's a problem because we see ourselves in the best light, while we look at the other and we see everything that's wrong with them. And perhaps that's the reason why Zacchaeus is said to be a short man. Because nobody identifies with that except a short man. One of my uncles, we call it Nano. Nano is short for enano, and enano is a midget. He was a midget, this tall at the most, when he was 32, 33 years old when he died. This midget worked on V8 engines. He was a mechanic. And you should have seen him getting into those big Impalas, you remember those? V8. And his feet were just dangling out like this while he was working on. You see, when we hear Zacchaeus, we think of just that little person over there. We don't think of ourselves. As a matter of fact, we don't think of Zacchaeus as John Wayne, right? Mm-mm. Or Greta Garbo, or Clint Eastwood, or Sharon Stone. I was going to say Sylvester Stallone, but because he is almost like me, you know, strong body, almost perfect face. Not only that, but Zacchaeus, he's from Jericho. You know where Jericho is? Jericho is where today is Palestine. That's the bad part. You see, Jericho was only the entry point to the promised land. It was not the promised land. It's just the entry point for the Jews. It might as well be Tijuana. Right? Or Juarez. We don't even think of Washington State as the entry point, right? But guess what? That's another one. But what happens with us when we see those names? We separate ourselves from that immediately. Oh, that's not us. That's not me. It can't be me. See, I bet you, no one here, no one sees themselves as Zacchaeus. And if that is the case, then Luke got it right. Whatever Luke is doing is working. Hear this guy's attitude. Look, he says, when he's invited by Jesus, he said, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone in anything, I will pay back four times as much. You see, this is a man of action. This is not a person that is just pondering. He was curious about Jesus because something was tugging at his heart. Perhaps he was seeking a way of redemption. In a very similar situation as the other rich young man, remember? He was looking for a way to heaven. But this man was looking at a way to redemption. Remember what we were talking about last week? There's the Pharisee who says, I'm so glad that I'm not like this one. Remember? Right? And the other one is like, Lord, have mercy on me. You see, there's a contrast that is being laid out for us. There's a contrast that is being presented to us so that we can see ourselves in these people. And Zacchaeus is just a man of action. He knew he had things to overcome. He knew there were issues in his life. But he didn't know how to overcome them. He just didn't know how to get over them. And this is the chance that he gets to learn about that. And guess what? He takes advantage of it. The moment that we see Jesus inviting him, something happened. And this is the result. He goes from being the butt of jokes, the hated one, to being the one who Jesus wants to visit with. To me, that's a step up, right? Amen. To me, that's called redemption. The one that looks like nobody wants to deal with, he's the one that Jesus is interested in. So we see Zacchaeus as an overcomer. He's an overcomer. He overcomes his situation, but not because of the things that he has done. Hello, please listen to me. Not because he's a great person, because he's not. But because of God's grace shown to him by Jesus Christ. Jesus invited him over to partake with him even before he had uttered a word. Now the thing about it is, how does he react? You see, this his reaction to me is also telling. He goes straight to action. He goes straight to doing something because of that grace shown to him. Action that does not get him ahead, because that action was not going to make him right with Jesus. It's just the recognition that God has already done something for him. You get it? Are you following? It's just a response. What is the response to overcoming all the obstacles that we may have for salvation or a life abundant? What are we to do? Be grateful. Gratitude. And out of gratitude, all kinds of actions pop up. Lord, look, I'm going to give half of my stuff. In other words, Lord, I'm going to give part of myself. So third, what's the story about? About the agenda. It's about the agenda that Luke is presenting to us. And this is the agenda. Jesus' mission. That's the agenda of the gospel. Jesus has a mission, and his mission is to prepare his disciples to be a mission. Amen. And mission is not sitting back. Hello? He's not sitting back and enjoying the fruit of our efforts. Mission is giving. And mission, brother, thank you for your words today. Because mission is giving regardless of the results.
Yes. Amen.
Because God is the one that is at work. It is not about how many people are in this place. It is not about the logical things that we think of. Well, if we give, and this is a great pastor, then we will grow, right? Okay, tell me, that's not in the back of your head? Right? I know the Baptists used to measure everything. Look where they got him. It's a different kingdom. It's not what we imagine. It's about overcoming. It's about presenting Jesus to others. You see, the agendas of Jesus' mission is presented to us at the last verse. To seek those who are
lost.
Yes, say it out loud. Come on now.
Lost.
To seek those who are lost. This is what Jesus is facilitating for his disciples. He's facilitating that those who need grace are reached by inviting them into relationship. And as a result, people overcome their situations. Smoking the paper out of the Bible. Imagine that. God can't even use that. People that overcome their situation, they live into the kingdom. Overcoming is just one step. Then comes the tactics, right? Action. Action. And action on behalf of God's agenda, not ours. Have you ever heard that statement saying, Jesus is the answer? Right? I've seen a lot of bumper stickers saying, what's the question? Right? Jesus is the answer, but not what we're looking at. He's not only the answer for salvation. He's the answer for life.
Yes.
He's the answer for life. And again, as John says, life abundant. So when we leave this place today, I would like for you to think of yourself as wee little people. Think of yourselves as the one climbing a tree. Think of yourselves as the one needing grace from God. Needing to overcome. I know I need to. Let's pray. Lord, as we consider our path, our journey, our walk with you. Christ, we pray that you may infuse your Spirit in us. That Spirit of action. That Spirit of extending our hands even beyond what we are capable of. We are your hands and feet. So we ask God that you may prepare us, equip us to do the work which your mission calls us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.